Blue Cranes, Long Knife, Mike Crenshaw, Nurses, The Stops, and many, many more. That's PDX Pop Now, July 24th through 26th at Audio Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're tuned to KABU, KBOO, Portland. At 10 o'clock today, or 10:15, we're going to hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock on the Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen will be here with guest Jim Gilbert to talk about summer pruning, watering in hot weather, and apricots. And thank you again for being members. And if you would like to become a member, you can call. You can go to kabu.fm and click where it says Donate Today. And I think we're just going to get right to Air Cascadia coming right up.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. As it happens, today, United Airlines computers down. Back on track now, but down earlier. Stock market, another computer glitch, down. Wall Street Journal's website, down. Greek economy pretty much down at this point. We don't know exactly what's going to happen yet, but it's pretty obvious that with the U.S. eagerly backing right-wing government in Ukraine, the Greeks are being punished for electing a left-wing government that the U.S. is a little bit unhappy about. And the U.S. again, Germany as well, hold all the cards. Germany especially should be held to task over this. Germany's success, Germany would not be where it is today, economically, financially, were it not for massive debt forgiveness after World War II. But they seem to have forgotten the forgiveness at this point. And for Amy Winehouse fans, it looks like Greece may be back to drachma. They may turn to the drachma. Not such a bad currency after all, perhaps. But there's definitely going to be some stumbling blocks on the way to the return of the drachma. It's obviously a punitive policy. And to get out of the situation, Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras has said that he'd like to more effectively tax the rich, and he asked for help from the Swiss in finding an approximate $100 billion in taxes from foreign tax havens. Yeah, think of that. But the Swiss have refused to release information on the rich Greek tax cheats. That would be interesting to know about. The suffering that is taking place in Greece now, one feels it. If you feel it in the voices, you feel it in images coming from Syntagma Square and from farther flung villages and towns around the Greek peninsula and, of course, as far away as Crete. There's 25% total unemployment, 60% youth unemployment, and those figures are nothing compared to where they're going. Once the next vote happens this coming Sunday, the Greek debt is obviously unserviceable. It didn't get invested in useful assets. Much of the debt was actually accrued after Greece adopted the euro. There you go. Which itself was done under dubious circumstances. German and French banks lent money to the Greek government for weapons. Then, when the financial crisis, which obviously was not Greece's fault, when it did finally hit, These private banks got paid off. Institutions like the International Monetary Fund assumed much of Greece's debt. The institutions are harder to deal with, of course, than private creditors. But now the EU, instead of coping with this like a bankruptcy situation, is preaching more and more austerity. Obviously, that's failed, and yet they're pushing for more. Obviously, punitive action against the Greek people to try to get them to vote the way that the US and the EU would like to see, because there are outcomes that are to their enormous advantage, and they are going to continue to put the screws to the Greek people until they have their way. Part of the problem, of course, is the dynamics of the European Union in the first place, because relatively affluent populations and a Calvinist attitude ignores the actual reality of fact on the ground, the failed austerity, and Germany's failure to look at its own situation. There are so many solutions. Could have been solved long ago with $20 billion. That's a fraction of what the bailout for the city of Detroit amounted to. None of this makes sense unless it is viewed through the dyspeptic lens of a capitalist state. So that said, trouble in Yemen, horrors. On Monday, there was an airstrike by the Saudi-led coalition that targeted, so theoretically, rebels, but they actually, in fact, hit a local marketplace. They killed well over 45 civilians. And the eyewitnesses on the ground report that the scene was simply beyond horrific. It's going to be ignored, however, because the U.S. and its allies are responsible. The deaths of these people are obviously on our hands. And, of course, our allies in the region. And it's very predictable that they're going to be covered in the U.S. None of the victims are profiled. Nobody's thinking about them. You're not going to hear any of that. People are too busy wringing their hands over whether they're going to be able to get on their United Airlines flight to Disneyland. People should be worried, however, about that little cyber attack on Wall Street. It seems coincidental that this happened at right in the midst of the Greek debt crisis and the collapse of markets in China. Figure that. That's something to think about. That said, we are very happy to welcome Faria al-Muslimi. He's currently in Beirut. He's a Yemeni writer and a visiting scholar with the Carnegie Middle East Institute. Good morning, Faria. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. This attack on the marketplace is inexcusable, and therefore it seems to be ignored by the rest of the world. What is making the Saudis do this? Isn't the U.S.-backed Saudi regime going after a government they don't like? Hello, welcome. Faria, are you there?
Yes.
Are you there? Can we hear you? It's hard. We have a bad connection, but do speak up, please. Tell us a little bit more about what happened at that marketplace. There you go. Go ahead. We had good audio a minute ago, so just keep going, keep talking. I hope you can hear me. If so, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try that one more time. We do have a few minutes. Faria, be sure to pick up. We're going to try and reach you again on a better line. The attack should be front page news. It was briefly on Monday, but then of course Wall Street seemed to overshadow everything, all the news coming out of Yemen. It's really what all of this is about is Saudi aggression in the region, muscle flexing, because the Saudis are becoming more and more concerned that negotiations over Iran are not going to go the way they want them to go. So, again, we have a situation, a chessboard of proxy wars going on in the Middle East that threaten to take down the entire structure of government in those nations. Closer to home, in Maine, in Portland, Maine, Bernie Sanders is packing them in. He's of course, this is news out of Bernie Sanders' campaign headquarters in Portland, Maine, but he drew a crowd of 10,000 in Madison, Wisconsin, and another 7,500 in his home port of Portland, Maine. For Sanders to turn this insurgent campaign into a viable challenge against, obviously, Hillary Clinton, he's going to have to convert those willing to come and hear him speak into volunteers, donors, and voters in 2016. And that could easily happen. All it takes, this is that now is the time. The left has a tendency to wait until 2 weeks before the election, then wring their hands and wail and say they're not going to vote at all. Now's your chance. We've got a candidate. Get behind him and fight. He has a little more than 50 paid staffers. We have Faria again, I believe.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Faria, thanks. I'm going to stop talking and let you go ahead. Saudi-led bombing in... they weren't after rebels. What were they after?
Say it again?
Yeah, they weren't... the Saudi coalition was not after rebels. They were after something else. Why the bombing of the marketplace? Is that terror? Is that out-and-out terror against civilians?
Apparently, it's part...
Go ahead. Just go ahead. Speak. This is coming from out of Beirut, so we're having trouble with the phone line. And it seems to be down again. Faria, stay with us. If we can get you on, just go ahead. Whatever else we're talking about, be sure that you join us when you can, when the line clears. China, a slew of official measures to provide support to Chinese stock markets have failed to halt recent sell-off. The Shanghai benchmark is down more than 30%, and millions of novice investors have piled into the market when it was at its most frothy, so to speak. Some made big profits, but the slump has left many with shares worth less than they paid for. So there's a mild edge of panic in China. It's very difficult to explain the situation that Ukraine. We are looking at that parallel with the situation unfolding in Greece. Members of the Chechen battalion are fighting against the Russian-backed rebels. This is percolating below the radar, and it too.
Madam.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, Faria, go ahead. This is a very strange thing, as often is the case. Go ahead. If you're there, go ahead and talk about the bombing of the marketplace. Well, we're trying to reach our guest, and it's difficult. Well, since Greece and China are dominant in the news once again, massive falls in bulk based metals. It's an extraordinarily strange time for markets. And again, the news architecture right now, the map of the news, again, is also in and of itself peculiar. We obviously, that's what the show has been about, is the crashing computers with airlines and stock markets here in this country. We have the unfolding situation in Ukraine. We have, of course, all eyes on Greece and the EU, and attention to China and the markets in Shanghai. All of this is overshadowing other things that are going on. We still, in this country, there are many, many cities in which police violence, justice is for everyone, regardless of skin color, is the preeminent theme going on. Police violence continues apace in this country because there's nothing like terror against the civilian population to keep people from raising their voices. Many Americans, many people on the left who are watching these stories are feeling helpless and are not sure what their role in this is. And all of us in a global world, global situation, have a role to play. It's just right now confusing for people to understand what that role might be. Meanwhile, President Obama is still has a few trade deals on his plate and decisions that he is going to be faced with. Very, very important to keep the pressure on the White House to be very wary of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That story has calmed down considerably, but anyone who is concerned about labor, the environment, jobs, all of this, this is on everyone's mind. And if it's on your mind, then it means it's time to put pressure on the people who hold power in their hands to do something. This is a president who has nothing to lose. He began with many, many promises, which he failed to keep. And now is the time, if there ever was, to remind President Obama that he does have a legacy waiting for him in the future. And that one way or another, Wall Street doesn't